It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say incredible, jaw-dropping, action-packed with savings.
You're talking about Thunderbolts?
No, Sergey. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare the Market. A wonderful offer.
So?
That you can use to see Marvel Studios Thunderbolts only in cinemas.
Woohoo! I'll get the popcorn.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product for Compare the Market. One membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Sunday Pool. Watch this or listen. Oh, yeah.
It's acceptable.
Okay. That's pretty normal in our house.
Colonoscopy. I'm still drugged.
Are you mysterious? Are you comfortable? Do you want to be? Sunday Cool is here to take care of you. Fleece Bliss. So soft, you'll even consider eating it. But don't. Essence, beauty, intelligence. Is it just fleece, or is it destiny? Entangle yourself, cloaked in mystery, whispers of warmth. A flip ton of fleece. Order now at sundaycool.com.
Si puedes entender esto, el gobierno está tratando de controlarte.
French fries. Waffle fries, to be exact.
I know, bro. And I got the honey pimento sandwich.
Mm. Oh, that's the best.
It's so good.
That's the best. The spicy ones
honey
are better.
Honey pimento sandwich. My eye's hurting, so you're going to see me cry.
Have you got new contacts? Contacts?
No.
Contacts?
Have you got new contacts?
What I really need is glasses.
Yeah. We're convinced that Jane is throwing everything away in the trash.
What do you mean? Why?
We're missing so much in our home.
Does she like dumping things in the trash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like multiple remotes to the TV.
Yeah.
Her glasses. She had 2 pairs. Now there's none.
Oh, no.
And why we think this is the other day, I saw her picking up stuff in the living room, and then I opened the trash can, and all the stuff she was holding was in the trash can. She's throwing it away.
That makes sense. That's a bummer, though. How do you teach that? Like, these are the important things, and these are the trash things.
They say that toddlers learn a new skill when you say it 1,000 times.
Cool. So just sit her down one night? All you got to do? I mean, it's that simple, though.
It's 1,000 corrections, and then they learn a new skill.
Yeah, I mean, I would just honestly just commit one Friday night just to communicate to Jane that you just don't throw those things in the trash can.
I think I could get through 500 in a night, and so it's going to probably take 2 nights.
I mean, in a normal bedtime routine, but I think this is important to push it back to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you get to bed by 1 or 2, I think that's a win.
She'll really know it by then.
Yeah, I mean, you get it. I don't understand. Like, that's what science says. Then just science, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Ninjas are butterflies. Just do it.
Wait a second.
Hold on. Get on a copyright right now. I'm going to get on a website. Look at him. He's typing so fast. Happy birthday, Josh!
Oh,
he gets bashful when it's his birthday, dog. Hey, happy birthday to
you. Know, those kids just start crying when they get too much attention.
Yeah. But they wanted, but they 100% asked for it. Like, can they make sure everyone sings for me? And I was like, yeah, buddy, for sure. And it instantly starts crying. Come on, dude. And it's never sweet, like, I'm just so glad everyone here loves me. It's always just like,
this is too much.
I don't like this.
I'm overstimulated.
I really, like, I wonder, people comment below, what are restaurants that still do the sing a song on a happy birthday?
All of them.
Not all of them.
Who?
There's a lot of them that don't. I think we went to Cheddar's one time. And they're like, sorry, we don't do that anymore. And they're like, why? And they're like, it's just, it got, some people got embarrassed. It's easier just to like not just do it.
Lame.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Clarissa was telling me that her best friend has a total minty bee on her birthday.
What is that? A minty bee?
You've heard it. Don't pretend.
No, I've never heard that in my life.
Minty bee?
Is that mental breakdown?
Yeah, Gen Z for mental breakdown.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
It's funner. It's more fun. She has a Menti B, and I say, why? And she says she thinks it's the passage of time.
I struggle with Annie X. What is that?
What does that mean?
Anorexic.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Cool. Are you coming up with different than Gen Z?
That's one funny thing. Like, you know how people stream and they'll just be walking down the street and they'll just be holding up, like they'll be on Twitch or whatever. You see the people like just like in New York or something, they'll just be talking about their life and they're just streaming, right? Everyone refers that to as IRL streaming. Like, it's just common speak just to say, oh, that's IRL streaming, or, you know, like whatever. Like gaming streaming, IRL streaming, which means in real life.
Minty which I'm like, this,
it's just
that sounds like an ice cream.
It's making mental. Listen. It's cutesifying something, but also in the same breath, like making it less serious. Like she's not having a true mental breakdown. She's just having a little Menti B.
This feels like Beetlejuice. If I hear Menti B three times, I'm gonna actually have a Menti B. Like I'm actually gonna lose my mind.
Menti B.
Could you imagine going to rehab? Like, I'm sorry, I'm just having a mental B right now.
Menti
like,
B.
Menti B.
I'm having a little Menti B.
Menti. I'm not. I'm not used to that.
You're going.
Not
on board. Just a little Menti B.
I think that's all it is. Is just like, how can we use these really like hard traumatic experiences or like things that we deal with? It's like, how can we do it like in a fun way though?
It's called romanticizing life, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
We're romanticizing illness.
Speaking of romanticizing illness.
We never finished the song.
Hey, should we do a cake?
Would you like a song?
Oh. No, wait, stop. What about cake?
We'll do a song.
We'll do that.
Which one?
We'll do the song first.
I really want a piece of cake.
Okay, well, it's the birthday boy's decision. So
true.
You can make that decision right now. I'm sure he'll give that to you. Do you want the cake right now?
I'm having a Menti B.
Or do you want the I can't handle
Yo,
it.
Yo, that's a grande B. Grande B.
Oh, my God.
Grande B, dude.
Go ahead with your song, boy.
That sounds like the end of like a early 2000s like song, like movie. Like that's the thing the girlfriend would say after the guy goes and chases his dreams. Go play your song, boy.
Okay.
I will. Thanks, babe. Be here when I get back. And then she mentions like a joke that they made like throughout the whole
movie. Yeah, if the kite flies into the tree.
Thanks, babe. She's the best. I just can't help but think about all the terrible things that are happening today as well.
What do you mean?
I mean, just, I think in general, we obviously talk about a lot on the podcast, but we talk about government lies. We talk about the possibilities of World War III happening.
And the hurricanes that just came through.
Yeah, back to back.
Devastation.
Destruction.
Riots in the street.
Sadness. Everywhere.
Armed militia.
China breathing down our necks.
Russia invading other countries.
Children hurting.
Politicians fighting at one another.
Walls being broken.
America divided.
Cloning of animals.
The cloning of humans.
Brain ran computers.
But wait.
What?
It's my birthday.
What? Oh, I forgot. I guess that is it.
It's my birthday.
That is true. Yeah, I guess. But what about the other things?
My birthday.
I understand, but like, I really think that these things are a lot worse. I mean, fires in the hills.
No, because it's my birthday.
Avalanches falling and crushing people and homes and
my birthday.
Tsunamis that are destroying the world.
It's my birthday.
We have an open border and
Happy birthday to me.
Women's rights and
Happy birthday, Joshie.
And problems with women issues in politics. Okay. There's fire and destruction.
No, it's my birthday.
We have to think about these things. They're destroying the world. We're the climate change. Absolutely everything
Happy
is just.
Happy birthday to me.
Okay, yeah. Josh,
it's my birthday.
You know what? You're right. You're right. It is your birthday, man.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to me.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to me!
Oh my gosh.
Happy birthday, big boy!
32
Trece dos.
How do you say 32 in Spanish?
Trente dos.
Trenque? Trente. I'm having a mental.
I take a trenque. Then I get in the plane. Que?
Tres, dos, put them together.
Cuatro.
Oh, it's so fun to be this age.
Yes, it is.
But do you know what's not fun is this question. Because this question today, it shocked me to hear about this. And for some people to have an opinion about it, honestly. It hurts me. I think it hurts a lot of people, the people I love. Just people in general. I think this question really... I'm scared.
It's okay, man. Don't be scared. You got this.
Okay.
You're going to be all right.
Shh. Lily.
Please. Today's question sent in by a viewer. Should we end child suffering?
Oh, gosh, no. Hey, look at me. Seriously, no.
Okay.
No, we shouldn't. I mean that.
Yeah.
You're my best friend. No.
Okay.
I can't even fathom that. I don't want to go there.
Should we end child suffering?
No.
No. Will?
Yes.
Josh, she doesn't mean it.
Crap.
Josh, she doesn't mean it. She doesn't mean it, dude.
Ugh.
She just doesn't know. She's ignorant. She's... Hey.
I'm literally going to have a mentee bee.
Don't have a
grande mentee bee.
Don't have a grande mentee bee right now. Hey, listen. She doesn't mean it. And if she does, listen, we're here for you. Right?
You just stay at my house for a little.
So we should end it, Lil.
Child suffering, yes.
Okay.
She's going to double down on it.
Well, today I turned 32. And my parents decided on my 32nd birthday, excuse you,
yeah, thanks,
that they would tell me the truth about myself. Okay. I just found out today that my name is not Josh Hooper.
Uh-oh.
But it is, in fact, child suffering.
That's so stupid.
It was a nickname. Josh Hooper was a Lily.
It's French. It's French, Lily.
Sephora?
So wait.
Now she's just making fun of child suffering.
Okay. She's making fun of child suffering in the French and making fun of me and wants to end me, wants to kill me?
Sounds like it, Josh. We asked her multiple times. do you want to end child suffering? She said, yes.
And here I am, Lil. October 21st, 1992. Born, weighing 36 pounds, 15 ounces.
One ounce shy of
30, child suffering is my name, Lil. This is who I am. And you want to end me?
I'm so sorry, Josh. I'm so sorry. Don't.
Oh.
Today of all days.
Ouch. Really.
Today of all days. Hey.
I mean, I guess you heard it here first, Andy and Andrew. And all those that are watching.
The millions.
Lily hates the French people.
One.
She wants to make fun of child suffering, not my name.
Two.
But the event.
And the worst of all three.
And the worst of all three, she wants me to end.
Number three.
Number three, Lil. I knew it!
Put down the knife!
I knew it! Welcome to the show!
The knife!
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's most beautiful
butterflies. Just empty your mind.
You were martial arts!
I love that. I saw the light bulb moment. goes, ah! That's great. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, child suffering. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Can we please have some cake now? Where's the lighter?
Let them eat cake.
I gave you the
lighter.
Say
that.
Don't do it.
And I think you're sitting on cake.
Hey, light that fire. Show the crowd what you can do. Hey, Andrew, we're going to have to need you to edit in a full-blown explosion right there on the orange couch. Oh, look at that cake.
This was made by the cake boss himself.
Whoa!
Oh, the cake boss!
Oh, he's the cake boss!
What kind of cake you want?
Hey, I'm ice in here!
This will cost you $10,000, but I'll do it!
Well, you want a bathtub on it? You got it.
Hey, fondant? Never heard of it!
Hey!
Buddy, are you going to have my cake in time?
What?
That's how the episodes always go.
That was great. I need someone to clip that and animate that whole scene right there.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, no. Give him a speech right now. Why you love him?
I literally can't.
She can't. I could never muster up those type of emotions. All right, here we go. One sec. You got to make a wish. What are you going to wish for?
I wish upon this cake that the federal government will be complete.
Keep going.
And take away our taxes and stop the Federal Reserve. Avenge JFK and ease my nerves.
There we go.
Amen.
That's the greatest. Hey.
All right.
Hey. Dude, I wish.
All right.
Cut yourself a slice.
Okay.
What kind of cake is that?
It's cut.
Dude, that is dense. That's
it's a
like,
dense boy.
It's like 10 dense. Pounds.
Watch out.
For those of you who aren't watching, it's got brown, orange, red, and yellow sprinkles.
Oh, brown is my favorite color.
I'm glad Lily's trying the first bite, though.
I really don't want some.
Pecan pie. Is it pecan or pecan?
I say pecan.
Pecan.
That's how I say it, too.
I don't think that's how I said it when I grew up. I don't know.
I'd say it's pecan pie, but pecan tree.
Mm, yeah.
Pecan. Yeah, you can't say pecan tree.
That feels weird.
Where's that pecan tree? God, tree is that a pecan tree?
You want my french fries?
You're good.
A knife!
What do you got there?
All right, so how are we all feeling after this hurricane?
Hey, we're alive. Thank goodness.
Let's talk about it briefly.
Yeah.
I abandoned y'all.
Yes, thank you again.
Andrew left us for dead and went to the panhandle. Yeah.
That was so scary.
It was kind of scary. Yeah. And yeah, luckily, the storm, you could look at the graph of it. Like, it just, like, shrinks right before it hits Tampa.
Yeah.
If it would have stayed that size, man, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, I was praying so hard.
I know.
Yeah, it was
I said,
wild.
God, because it was a five. I'm like, God, just make it smaller, please. Yeah,
that's what I told you. I was like, I was just praying that God would just make it evaporate overnight, so it's so obvious that it was you. Like, yeah. Just make it gone. Make it disappear.
He would have answered the prayer, and we would have been like cloud seeding.
Exactly. There's no way.
No rent control.
God's like, I gave it to you. Come on.
God's like, guys, come on.
But luckily, we had we had some trees down, branches down, stuff like that.
Nothing hit the house. This was nothing the craziest story. I went. This sounds very charismatic of me, but I was so nervous because we have these giant oaks around our house.
And they're like this, man. They're like...
Yeah, one side's like completely rotted out. And I went to each tree in our yard and I prayed, God, please don't let this tree fall. Please don't let this tree fall. And the one oak tree that I did not pray for fell.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Serves you right.
And it crushed our chicken coop.
Oh, man. Oof. Luckily, no chuckins got hurt in the
Chuckins did.
No chuckins
got chutted.
Because they were already hurt.
Yeah, they're eaten by a raccoon.
Well, I was trying to keep it positive, but thank you.
Eaten by a raccoon or a werewolf. We don't know.
Oh, it could have been a wolf, man. Dog man.
Yeah.
Probably dog man.
Dude, that wind, I slept maybe an hour and a half that night.
Yeah, it was a rough night.
It was just...
Yeah, because you just never know. Because it's constant wind. It's not just like every now and then you get a big gust. It's like constant. So it's like you have no idea what's about to run into your house.
Is that the first hurricane you guys have sat through that like actually showed up with hurricane winds?
No, it was Irma?
Irma, we weren't together yet. Irma was in...
We didn't have to be together. It's just a hurricane that we sat through.
Hey, take it easy.
I thought he was asking about like at our house with children and stuff.
Were you?
Nope.
Oh.
No, but like I'm just... Because like... Paige and Andy stayed at our house, and Paige was, we were talking, we're like, kind of dawned on us that you're like, you know, spent time in the Midwest, and so like your experience with these weather events is like tornadic.
Yeah.
And we're like, this has to be terrifying to somebody who's like...
It's just constant tornado activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's actually what I feared the most, because they're saying like tornado warnings everywhere in Florida.
Well, did you see how many went through South Florida?
Yeah, well, they said the number of tornadoes that happened in Florida was a record-breaking amount of tornadoes in one day.
Yeah.
And that caused the most devastation.
Yeah.
Like the video that I sent you guys with the literal dumpster in someone's roof.
Yeah. It's just so concentrated, like the wind is. And so it's just, that's so scary.
Well, I looked up because they said, you know, whatever the scale was, I forget what the numbers are, but they said that they were going to be bad. And I looked up like the mile per hour wind, and it's like a hurricane is like 100-ish. Plus,
yeah,
and then the tornado can be like 200 to 300, just depending on like how big and how tight a thing. So it's like,
I'll show you.
Shout out Joplin, F5 tornado. Yeah. They still survived.
That's what it was.
That's insane.
That was crazy.
That's terrifying,
dude. Yeah. The videos on YouTube of that is so scary.
200 people died, right, in that tornado?
About 163, I think, or something like that.
Joshua, I didn't tell you this, but Kelly across the street posted that they think a tornado went through our neighborhood. Because somebody clocked 100-plus mile-an-hour winds on their thing.
Oh, wow.
And you saw all the trees that went down the road.
And that's a crazy thing, because they could literally just go, just straight up and down. Wow. And it could, I mean, it could be 2 seconds.
Well, it's crazy. Off the lakes and the fields, too.
Yeah, so at my parents' property, there's a literal clear path to where there was a tornado. It's just these trees in a straight line were just boom, boom, boom. And then at the lake... And then across the lake, trees, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's the scariest thing, when you can actually see the trail of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, it's just scary.
I can't
imagine seeing that for the very first time. I mean, imagine, I was just, the whole time during the hurricane, I was just like, it kept popping in my mind of just the Native Americans that used to live here.
Me too.
That just would they're just planning their, especially if they've never seen one. Like maybe they're moving, you know, from up north. And just seeing
it's
a hurricane, but then a tornado.
Like there's a storm coming.
Oh.
That's all.
Yeah, because the day before the hurricane, it was the most gorgeous day.
It was.
It was perfect.
But animals were acting strangely. Josh's grandma was acting strangely.
Shout out, Mazzy.
You're going to have to elaborate on that a little bit.
And then, like, as the hurricane was coming in, I literally felt like I was getting an ear infection. My ear was hurting so bad.
The atmospheric pressure, both Mazzy, my grandma, and Jane were holding their ears complaining.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Dude, that's what I was telling you about, like, our friends, Tim and Tori. They just had their house destroyed or their car totaled. and they had a bald eagle in
crazy.
One of their back nests. I mean, like, in their one of their old pine trees.
I've heard this.
There was an eagle up there. And it was just the coolest thing because they couldn't even, like, pick up their feathers technically, right? Like, cause, like, it's just legally you're not allowed to. And 2 or 3 days right before the hurricane, they switched their nest to another pine tree. And then 2 days later, it comes down crashing through their house.
Their old tree.
Their old tree. The old nest. Crazy. It's just, it's wild, man. Like, that stuff like that, it's like, yeah.
I saw that bald eagle. That bald eagle is humongous.
Dude, they're huge.
I didn't even tell you this. Flew right in front of my car.
Really?
Humongous. And I didn't.
God bless America.
A year ago, I'll admit this, I didn't even know bald eagles lived in Florida. And that just happened to me.
Dude, 2 years ago when we went camping, it was me, Josh, and Steve, and I think maybe Austin or something, but like we went for breakfast and we're coming back and it's just like 7 a.m. Dude,
a boat?
Yeah, 7 a.m. We're on the boat. It's just clear waters. We use dolphins. It's the most gorgeous thing. And then out of nowhere, 15 feet from the boat, a bald eagle, we're like, no way, comes down, grabs a freaking like catfish or something, and then plops right out. And it's like, let's go, America.
You've lived in a lot of landscapes.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite?
Right now, I'm just in love with Florida. I don't know, because I've always been really good at, like, wherever I'm at, this is my life. I just jump in. But I love Florida. I just love the nature and the trails. I just wish they had, like, rivers. Like, rivers you could hear.
What about the St. John's River?
Yeah, but it's just, like, it's so slow.
It's not rushing.
That's the thing. When you go up north, you actually can hear, like, a mile away, you can hear the roaring of a river.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's just something, like, and we just passed over them all the time in Joplin, so, like, I miss that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give up Florida, nature for anything.
Hey, I did an experiment in my house.
Did you?
During the hurricane.
Okay, what'd you do?
We were outside before the hurricane, and Jane had this little cardboard box of yogurt raisins.
Uh-huh.
She just threw it in the grass.
Yogurt raisins, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, pick it up. It's just this little cardboard box, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to see where this goes during the hurricane.
Did you put an air tag on it or something?
I took a picture before and after of where it was, and it was in the exact same spot.
Dude, that's crazy.
After the hurricane.
Isn't that funny? How low winds are. There was right underneath your string of lights because I live in a double wide. So I went to Andrew's house because it was vacant and he, lovingly offered it up to us. So we were staying there and there's a basketball right underneath the string of lights and it didn't move once. I'm like, not even just a tiny roll. It's so crazy how, like, if you're in a hurricane, like, the lower is the better, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Anyways, I guess that makes sense. The same thing for tornadoes and stuff. Like, they try to get, like, just get low.
We're very grateful.
That is crazy, though, because I lost, like, a 30-foot tree, and it blew a palm tree over, like, 10 feet from the basketball.
Okay. So. Yeah. Did the yellow tree completely come down, or it's just big limbs on it?
Pretty much 2/3 of it.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's an invasive species, though, so it's all right.
It landed on the neighbor's screened-in pool.
Uh-oh. They own Metro
That's
Pizza.
Why you don't get a pool.
The other neighbors.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Hey, but shout out to all the first responders and the linemen,
For real. Crushing it.
I feel like they don't get enough love.
Yeah,
they get a lot of hate, amazingly enough.
We're still out of power, and it's been 2 days.
Dude, yeah, so, like, a million other people.
I know. Dude, they said 3 million people in Florida lost power.
Dude, that's crazy.
Dude, there, did you see it was in the Mount Dora community? There was a dude just aggro, like, going off, and then somebody went to his account and pulled up a photo that was like, come at me, I'm from New York, was his t-shirt. It was like,
easy,
it's
buddy.
Not a good look.
Easy, bud.
Yeah, dude, those linemen are just
rock stars, heroes,
the amazing. Coolest man.
You know, they're just in the locker room before the hurricane, just kind of like pumping themselves up, like, let's go, baby.
I know,
dude,
I know.
It's time to shine.
One guy that was from a lineman from North Carolina said that they were working 16-hour days.
Dude,
with, I think
crazy.
They said, a 5-hour break or whatever the math adds up. That's not right. But
it's so physically laborious, too.
Yeah. He said we would work until we were absolutely exhausted, take a break, then go back to work.
Yeah.
But also, what's happening in North Carolina right now?
Psycho.
It's not being reported on fully, which is, I don't know why.
And there's just a lot of weird stuff because it feels like there's some misinformation, but then, like, we don't know. And it's like, it's just so hard to confirm.
Either way, the death toll is significantly higher than what they're reporting.
What's the newest report? Do we know yet? Have you looked that up? Like, what's the official count?
Like, the news?
Yeah.
What they're saying? Yeah. I don't know, but
because it was like 160 or something. Like, or no, not 160, like 120.
Again, always look at misinformation. But this one lady that works for a search and rescue mission in North Carolina said that her company just ordered 10,000 body bags.
What?
10,000 body bags.
I heard that.
Dude, she said, not saying that we're going to use them all, but I'm saying that there's plenty to fill it.
That just felt like a horror movie. Someone, like when you find out the worst, like that didn't feel like shock. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So yeah. Here's the number. It says from 2 days ago, 250 people across 7 states. But I know somebody in law enforcement and they talked to someone in law enforcement up there and I got the same story. So confirmed from a different source.
Yeah. Dude. And all I'm hearing too, so it says that, 300 or whatever, but all I'm hearing from people who are there or folks that are volunteering and going to visit that their bodies lined up on the streets.
Yeah. And my sister-in-law, she said her cousin, who's a lineman in Florida, he was stationed in North Carolina. They turned all the linemen, as far as his party, into search and rescue as opposed to putting up power.
Yeah.
Because there's so much chaos.
And I saw there was like, it was near Chimney Rock. I saw a dude who hiked in. Like I watched his full YouTube video and he basically records the whole, I was like skipping ahead because he's like just filming walking in. He was like, there's stories of bodies coming out from here, but it's like he shows up way after the fact. It's down the main strip. I'm like, I'm pretty sure like, you know, ground zero is going to be tidied up. I'm more concerned about like the rural areas where like no one's even been able to get to. That's where the numbers are actually probably going to be coming from.
But speaking of which, it won't be this episode, but next episode we will have a shirt of some sorts that we're going to be selling. Or it could be donation-based, but basically 100% of the proceeds from that, we're going to collect a honeypot and find, because we know local people within North Carolina that can help us out with organizations and stuff.
True local people.
Yeah. So I encourage you guys next week to either get a shirt or just donate, and we're just going to literally collect a honeypot, and probably in December or sorts, we're going to go up there and help out to where we can.
Love that.
And we'll disclose where it's going once we decide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going. Yeah, for sure.
We know that'll be in the description.
What we're hearing, I know that we said this in the last episode, but what we're hearing is that these larger organizations like the American Cross and FEMA and all of that aren't really touching like the areas of the most hurt. People in that area are asking for donations to go to people who are directly in it.
Yeah. Cool. Instead. That's awesome. We're going to have it up next week.
That's the plan. Yeah.
What design? Do we know?
We'll get a cool design. It'll be like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I want it to be funny.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be related to anything. It'd just be a cool shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
But yeah, my brother, he did a internship in North Carolina for gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady's name is Susan.
And she's a sweetheart.
She's the best.
Shout out, Susan.
One, her husband is an engineer. And
like me.
Outfitted the whole house to where they were good. They're in a Fairview, which is like right in the path of all this stuff. But like he has like their house being powered off of a Tesla because he got a Tesla just for the purpose of using it as a generator.
That's awesome.
But she said she encouraged us to wait until the social media hype died because she's like, then that's when the help is going to stop. So like when that stops, we would love if you guys were to help out. So,
yeah, totally. And we'll make we'll remind just how important it is next week as well.
Dude, we might not come back. I want to live at Susan's little garden house.
Is it cool?
Dude, yeah.
They have it made. I told her I'm green with envy at their setup.
What's sad is that she had this garden in her yard that she has been cultivating for over like 30 years.
That's so cool.
Sinkhole.
Dang.
Swallowed the whole thing.
No way.
Yeah.
That's sad.
But now not she's so got cool like a now, swimming huh? pool.
No, it's
she
not.
She could turn into a swimming pool.
True.
Hey.
Always look at the bright side. Mm-hmm. No. We can't.
That's crazy.
What Taylor did you already say the name of it? I just love it. When Taylor did his gardening internship, the garden was called the Lord's Acre.
The Lord's Acre.
Yeah. Not a bad one. And everything that they grew, they would donate to food pantries and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good thing we're sending a honeypot near there. 100 acre woods. Lord's Acre. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, butter.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one to do.
You did it before really good.
I can't remember how to do it.
I need my pot of honey.
Oh, butter.
No. Speaking of hurricanes.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about geoengineering.
Let's talk about it.
Actually, I can answer any question you need. So,
all right, cool. Well, there's a documentary that all of us need to watch. I'm about almost halfway through.
What's it on?
It's called geoengineeringwatch.org. We'll put a link in the description. But this guy who has, he's been doing research for, golly, probably 20 years of geoengineering. And this documentary is insane, and it makes you so mad.
What is what is it about?
Chemtrails.
Okay.
Okay. Got
all it. About chemtrails.
Wonderful.
Every single person that he interviewed for this documentary worked for the military, worked for the Pentagon, worked for the Bush administration, and they're like, yes, this is in fact what we're doing. And it's their whole claim is for climate control and global warming. But basically, these planes are outfitted with these sprayers to where it goes back to the glitter conspiracy. They're literally spraying aluminum particles in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
To reflect the UV sun rays back into the atmosphere to where it doesn't heat up our oceans and stuff.
But is it heating up the atmosphere?
That's what I'm getting at. Not mad at you. I'm mad at this.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you thought first?
Yeah, I'm like...
Well, no.
Wait, what did I say?
That's my argument, because they said it's untested, but they're just like, yeah, let's start doing this. Dude, they've been doing it.
So it's cooling off our Earth, but it's reflecting that heat directly above.
But also,
right in our ozone layer.
Is it trapping the heat underneath it too?
Yeah.
And is that why we're having the ice melt, the oceans hitting record temperatures?
Makes you wonder why we even started messing with this stuff, because it's like, maybe if we didn't, maybe we wouldn't be this far.
Do they know how insulation works?
Apparently not. But apparently they've been doing this since the 50s, testing on it. And this is a screenshot I got from his documentary. This was an article from Popular Science magazine, 1958. And some of the headlines say, control the Earth's weather and temperature is within the realm of practicability now. Electronic bombardment of the ionosphere to alter the electric charge, Air Force scientists are already experimenting with sodium vapor ejected from jet planes to intercept solar radiation. All these methods would regulate the distribution of heat in different parts of the Earth's atmosphere. This is the basis of global weather control.
1958. Yeah, so don't say you're not doing it. Ugh.
And I also saved this one part. This was, oh man, I don't know the year, but the president of Iran went to the United Nations and he was claiming that Europe was actively causing Iran to have a drought by doing this cloud seeding or the chemtrail stuff.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
So like went in front of all the UN and was blaming Europe for causing Iran's drought.
And what did they say?
I don't know.
Golly, dude.
They said, I know you are, but what am I?
It's just big kids picking on little kids. That's all it is.
Iran's a pretty big kid these days, thanks to our tax dollars.
Here's a quote for you. This is wild. This is from Lyndon B. Johnson. He was like speaking at like a graduation or something and talking about weather control.
Yeah.
And he said,
at a graduation,
a quote from him said, he who controls the weather controls the world.
Cool.
I'm like,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense because when a hurricane hits Florida, I mean, we're pretty debilitated over here.
Preoccupied.
Yeah.
With everything. Distracted. Yeah.
You want to talk about evil scientists?
Tell me.
I don't want to call this guy evil because I don't really know him too much. But his ideology is kind of messed
possibly
up.
Evil scientist.
Who knows?
Maybe evil.
He's a geoengineer. His name is David Keith.
Okay.
He's on the documentary. And he's talking about how we need to be doing this, these chemtrails and stuff to stop global warming and all that. And he was on this panel and he said, if I made the decision or if there's a collective decision amongst us geoengineers to output this stuff into the atmosphere, I would personally choose to put out 1 million tons a year of this chemical on the Earth.
Yeah.
And he said, but you might end up killing tens of thousands of people a year as a direct result of that decision.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just let nature run its course, bro. Okay, yeah. Just let it, just don't do that.
And here's another crazy thing. He said this technology is so cheap that he said, quote, costs are so cheap that the richest people on the planet could perhaps afford to buy an ice age.
So that's where they think the next thing's going. That's the next stage?
I don't know.
Stones it's so and cheap like glitter. Sorry, go ahead.
Sticks and stones, dude. Einstein all over again. Mm-mm. That's where we're headed.
But he also says that this chemical, what it does is it causes rapid aging, breaks down body tissue, and 100% causes cancer.
Yeah, obviously.
And we're just spraying it every day.
And it can't be just for climate control, though. It can't be.
Well, it's also probably furthering this whole agenda of...
reduced population?
Exactly.
Yeah. But also for the purpose of what Lyndon B. Johnson said of those who control the weather control the world. So are some of these chemtrails, all these natural disasters, hurricanes, all this stuff, is this a warfare that we're not aware of?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What if they're spraying that stuff in space because they know space aliens can't get through it?
Oh,
we don't like aluminum. It scares us. It makes us itchy.
How do we save Earth? Let's wrap it in aluminum foil.
Isn't that crazy though? It's so.
Dude, it's literally the tinfoil hat.
Yeah. I mean, like, how you can't help it. I mean, sorry, you can't blame us for wearing tinfoil hats when you're literally put one on the Earth.
This one guy who was involved, this older man on the documentary, he was involved in an operation of something that was parallel to the chemtrails.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it is so secretive that they will not allow third-party scientists, other researchers to come in and see like, hey, is this actually hurting the Earth more? Is it hurting people? Because it's so secretive that they're not willing to bring in other people. They're trying to keep it in like such close control.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
No.
Please don't do that.
You know something? Please stop. I forbid it.
Whoa. Whoa.
Hey, you guys heard
it?
You guys heard Lily first.
Guys, we have to stop now. Lily, this is all we've been waiting for.
Lily forbade. Forbade?
Yep.
Forbaden.
Yeah. Forbaden?
Forboden.
Forbode? Chemtrails.
Forbode it.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lily, for saving our world. I wish it was that easy.
I forbid it.
Okay. Enough.
Spooky.
Everything I talked about is about 2% of that documentary.
Wow.
Really?
No lie. Because he shows the patents.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the description. I promise. Nice. I'm going to send it to Andrew right now so we don't forget.
We need a notes board for each episode for stuff like that.
Yeah, so not cool.
Yeah, that's messed up. I don't know. It just feels so tough because it's like, especially when you're in the middle of that thing, like we were last week, it's like, could this possibly be controlled? Is it really that crazy? But then it's like, why are they doing it then? Like there is proof of them spraying weird things out there.
But why is it,
though?
That's what I'm saying.
Generally, it's like, everybody... throw your trash away, do this whole thing, and your carbon footprint, this, that, whatever. Yet they're putting aluminum in the sky.
That's non-biodegradable.
Like, it just seems
really... Is it microscopic?
To protect the Earth from global warming.
This guy, this documentary guy, he hired a lab to collect samples from these chemtrails, and they tested it under microscope and found all the components of it matched up with the U.S. military patents for... weather control.
Wow.
My whole thing is
like, that's the proof.
I mean, that's what we've been saying forever. Sorry, go ahead.
No, they made us feel crazy for like the chemtrail, contrail difference. But now they call it cloud seeding instead of chemtrails. It's the same flipping thing.
Yeah, UFOs, like, UAPs.
Yeah, they're just changing the language.
For new generations so that we just like can be confused on the terminology.
Do you know what
rebrand?
Do you know what got him started on this journey though? Is that he grew up in Southern California. And he's like, I dream of one day living up north and having a cabin and being completely self-sufficient, solar panels, living off-grid. And so he finally did that, and he moved to, like, the Tahoe area, maybe north of that. and he had his whole solar panel array out, and he said over the years he started noticing the clouds, right? And his solar panels, their input or their intake like, yeah, dropped 60-80% even when it was a sunny day.
Wow.
And he's
so
like,
almost as if like they were literally blocking.
Yeah. And he's like, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so we started doing research, and that led him on this whole, he has this whole armada of people that have like come together and like, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But this documentary, dude, it's like 3 years old.
But now, like, now you wonder, if we peel back the aluminum wrapping of our planet, will we completely roast at the beach?
I don't think so.
See, I think they're like causing, I think, you know, the military literally cycles people through, like every 4 years people get moved to a new base, new projects, like that's how the military works. Our government so often works in terms, so nobody's actually looking out for future generations. They're just trying to look good for the term that they serve in, for the their time.
They're
on
trying
a certain project,
look good, profit, just
yeah,
profit,
or like solve the immediate problem. Like they're like, hey, we blew up a bunch of islands in the Pacific testing bombs and it caused some problems. So how can we negate that problem? And instead of saying, let's do this, but what does it do to the future? They just solve the immediate problem. And then the next crew comes in and solves that problem. So like, even if it wasn't completely ill-intended, I think it's just stupid mismanagement.
And that's what happens so often. Like you just see where someone wants to go do a good thing. They have a plan. They have an organization. They have a something they want to do. But in order to do that, they have to shake a few hands, make a few promises, and down the line, it's just, it's like, what are we doing? Like, we're just running on a treadmill. We're working really hard, but we're not getting anywhere. Like, it's.
He also did research with this team of animals becoming extinct, and he did a graph. But this one article that he pulled from environmental scientists said, accelerated modern human-induced species losses, semicolon, entering the sixth mass extinction. And so he like does this graph of like these animals all going extinct ever since we started the program.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Animals like, that might be susceptible to that kind of stuff.
Like just animals. He has mammals, birds, vertebrates.
I'm saying like those animals may just be like more vulnerable to those chemicals or whatever, you know.
But he lists all animals that are all of them are going extinct.
Jesus, come soon.
Please. What are we doing?
Please.
It's my birthday.
For one day, can we just not mess with the weather?
Yeah. Speaking of weather.
Yeah.
Did you know that? We got it out. Don't go anywhere.
Can I go potty?
Sure.
Wait, why are you pottying? Because Andy.
What? Yeah. Hold on, Lil. What second? What's
before
up, Josh?
Before you go pee-pee in the potty, Lil, I think it's important that you say what you need to say.
I don't know if this is the right time. It's kind of awkward. I don't really want to confront her that much. If you have something else better to do, it wasn't that important, I guess.
I think
you think I should?
I think, Andy.
What, Josh? It seems like you're waiting for something. It's almost like
I'm thinking.
I'm just scared to tell her.
I'm thinking that you should tell her.
Yeah. Okay.
Out with it.
What you need to say.
Okay. Lily. Elaine. Adolph Hooper. I think you should know that I want you to go to SundayCool.com and I want you to order custom merch. Not only, listen, I know what you're thinking and I understand, but listen, they're affordable. They're incredibly soft. We print with incredibly soft ink as well. It doesn't fade. It doesn't wash away. It doesn't crack. It doesn't do anything like that. It's the best possible shirt you can have. And I feel like you're just dragging your feet.
Yeah.
Instead of just going to SundayCool.com and ordering custom merch, not only shirts, hats, stickers, bags, wristbands, whatever it possibly could be. And you're looking for all these, this in the wrong places.
Wrong places.
When it's SundayCool.com is where you should be.
But what about artwork? I don't have artwork.
Doesn't matter. We can do it for you, Lil.
What?
We'll do it for you.
Lil, they can do it for you.
Quit carrying all this weight.
You're saying they have a full art staff, art team?
Full art staff that's going to fully, completely design your artwork completely for you, tailored to your brand.
Oh.
And then not only that, we're going to deliver it to you within 72 hours after art approval. You look at the art, you say it's good to go. Guess what? 72 hours, it's headed to you.
Oh.
I know. So I don't want you to feel pressured or anything, but I just need you to know. If you want love, go to SundayCool.com. If you want shirts, you go to SundayCool.com. And if you want to feel like family, you go to SundayCool.com.
Josh.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the van!
All right, poop. Hey, that was a good idea what you just did there, Josh. Fun fact, do you know Alfred Hitchcock is in every single one of his movies?
Oh.
His silhouette.
Oh, wow.
He's got a very defined silhouette. So.
Signalette.
Because it signals, you're like, oh, that's Alfred Hitchcock.
Man, that ad.
Dude, some would say one of the best.
It got me so jazzed, dude.
A lot of people like the claymation one from the other week.
Yeah.
That's good, because I...
Don't make me do it again.
You already did.
Don't make me do it again.
Are you talking about right now?
No. I'm just saying, be careful in the future. Who knows? That's for the viewers.
Did you see that... It's a...
Question corner with Lily, where the questions are fresh on her mind. Her eyes... literally just lit up as soon as she's like, question.
Spooky.
I have a question. Okay, it's about you.
Oh.
No.
It's your birthday.
Can I answer it then?
Birthday podcast.
We're all going to answer it.
Okay.
Nice.
A year has passed.
Mm.
You are no longer 31, you are 32.
Mm.
In these 365 days... What is the funniest memory you have made? What do you look back on in the last year and chuckle at? And now you guys have to answer involving him. What is the funniest thing?
Ooh.
These questions I feel like we need to be prepped for. Because that's
kind of
thinking through whole year.
I'm also time blind. Like I have
me too.
Yeah, kind of all blurs.
Yeah, together. I don't know when things happen.
Honestly, the Evansville was kind of fun. Just experiencing you in so much dread. And the excitement of all that. Let's think. What do you think, Joshy?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I'm looking throughout all my photos with you.
I'm just going to go to the first memory that popped up, and I know it's not in the last year, but when we were in Miami and we were talking about the Everglades, and we were like, I was like, how many bodies? I was like, you imagine like how many bodies must like, it must have been dumped out there. I was like, how did I phrase that question? You remember the moment I'm talking about?
I briefly.
Oh, it was a really important moment for me, but.
No, but as you're saying it, it's coming back.
So important, he doesn't remember how it's worded.
Don't worry, we have a million of those.
Dude, that is my brand, to have great stories and have no idea how to deliver them.
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's like, how many bodies do you think have been dumped out there? And then you said more than you know.
More than you know, pal.
More than you know. I honestly loved our trip to Chattanooga this year. Because you didn't go.
Yeah.
I did go.
You did go this year. I'm trying to think. We did have a lot of fun in Chattanooga this year. Meeting Andrew Scholes was a blast, just because we definitely did not belong there.
That was just was like so such a cool. unique experience.
It was a really cool, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like not like we've made it type of thing, because obviously, like, that's such a ridiculous thing. But it's like, it's really cool that like big people like that are literally interviewing Donald Trump recognize your work, and we got to go do
our
really,
work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
our work. No, it's not me.
Dude, if I could relive that night.
It's Josh editing all the time, speaking.
When we went to Andrew Schultz's green room, they were all eating this massive, like, you know, you go to a sushi restaurant, there's like the boat, and you're like, you always want to get the boat, but you don't buy the boat.
They had like three boats.
Yeah. Well, Andrew was like, hey, if you guys are hungry, help yourselves. And I picked up one roll and said for the story because I wasn't about to eat their food. And then we immediately left the room. And that hurt my soul to turn around and look at three boats of sushi. And
yeah, you know they all threw it away too.
I know.
My final answer will be selfish because it was my birthday. But we just had a big bonfire at your place at the property. And I got to watch Braveheart for the first time.
Yeah, me too.
Being your favorite movie, that's a special moment.
Yeah.
Aww.
And then we held hands all night. Mm-hmm. In the same sleeping bag.
See,
the
problem with that movie though is it made me miss my wife.
Yeah,
it like makes you like
I miss my wife.
I just sat there sad in a chair the whole night and was like, well,
no, she's like 5 miles away, dude.
It made me want to go fight the British.
Yeah, Drew.
In honor of my wife.
In honor of my wife, I want to die for my wife right now.
What?
She's fine.
Where are you, Brits? Yeah, just that masculine urge to die for your wife for no reason.
Okay, my turn. I just love being a parent with you. And my
I thought you said the funniest. Or
I know.
Say,
well, I'm going there. Oh. Chill out.
You said funniest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's all right. I was just trying to think of memorable.
Funniest memory.
Yeah.
And I know this is recent, but I think about it probably every day. It's not even that funny in a story, but it was really funny the moment I laughed so long. But being a parent with you is just so fun. It's such a cool adventure. And we were watching like some YouTube channel that you just discovered recently. And they did this whole Disney episode where they stay in a bunch of Disney resorts. And he's just a really good vlogger. Very funny. He reminds me of you in your youth. And Ada snuck out of bed and jumped into bed with us. And we're like, okay, go to sleep though. Don't open your eyes. And we just like forget that she's there and we're watching. And there's a scene where it's like Lilo and Stitch in breakfast. And she goes, oh my goodness. You hear it. She's been awake the whole time watching. Yeah.
She goes, oh my goodness, it's Lilo and Stitch.
I said, Ada, go to sleep.
That's amazing. That's funny.
That's great.
Anyway,
my favorite, funniest moment is. Past 365 days with my colonoscopy.
Was it?
That's your favorite, yeah. Funniest moment?
Yeah. Because I made some funny jokes with it.
I'm sure you did.
Like when the doctor, the patient before me said, okay, I'll see you soon. The lady said, hopefully not in their same circumstances. And she's like, or the doctor said, that's what they all say. And so when it came to me, it was just like, I was going to say, all right, I'll see you again. And then I was going to say, hopefully under the same circumstances.
I mean, that's honestly true, though. You'd only want to see them probably under those circumstances.
Yeah.
Because if I see somebody at the grocery store that I know was giving me a colonoscopy, I'd be like, just don't even acknowledge my existence, dude.
We didn't even talk. We haven't talked about it because it was last episode.
Oh, that's true.
No, we did talk about it.
No. We talked about that I was going to get it. We didn't talk about the aftermath.
Oh, how was it, Joshua?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good, everybody.
I was able to fart really easy after.
Do you realize you literally, like, Helene hit on, like a Thursday or Wednesday, and then that one hit on a Wednesday? This one, Milton, hit on a Wednesday? So you literally had a colonoscopy in the middle of two hurricanes.
What a miracle.
Good for you.
I think that we're just surviving all the time. It just feels like... What's next? What's
next? Might as well sprinkle in a couple traumatic experiences in between these other ones.
What made me uneasy was that they were like, there's no prep. In fact, like they weren't just being like, hey, we're going to do this. Like, yeah. All right, come back here, put on this gown, and just lay here.
Like, so you're okay. Like, because you're playing out in your mind, like it's going to go like this. It's going to take
like
a while.
Like explain it. Like this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then they just come and like, okay. And they usher me back to the room, and there's like five people in there.
Yeah.
And they're like, name, date of birth, what you're in here for? I'm like, Josh Hooper, 10/21/92. And I colonoscopy. Like, okay. And they're like, can you lay on your side? I said, okay.
Yeah.
Lay it on my side. And then the anesthesiologist comes in. He's like, have you ever had anesthesia? I said, yep. He said, okay, cool. Any problems? I said, no. He said, all right.
Good night.
And then he goes, puts it in, like, because the IV was in my hand. And I just see this giant white syringe. He's like, my body went, like it's like tingling. I'm like, oh, that's weird. done.
Out.
And then I woke up and my tongue was out like this.
Yeah.
I woke
Did
up.
Did you see that?
No.
I woke up. I'm like, oh God. And the nurse is like, how you feeling? I'm like, my tongue was out. She's like, yeah, we take it out so you don't choke on it. I'm like, okay.
We take turns holding on to it while we're doing.
I'm like, well, why not just ask to stick out my tongue before I fall asleep? Because I'm just envisioning now that like I'm dead asleep and they're just like,
yeah, just like, yeah, just say, put your tongue out and count to 10 in your head. Like, yeah, count down like from like 50 or something. Yeah.
There's probably a chance of like involuntary like biting your tongue as you go out.
I just down.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine being put down and they're like, quick, stick your tongue out. But you're like, what? Why? Okay.
Weird, no.
Do a silly face. Nah. All right.
And then he tooted a lot.
Yeah, how was your experience with all the whole thing? Was it great?
Yeah, it was good. I got to read a lot of my book in the waiting room, which was nice, a little break.
Yeah.
And then I was nervous because
she made sure you got a colonoscopy before you needed a colonoscopy simply so she can catch up on her book.
And then there was this woman in there and she got pulled up before me and they were like, it didn't work out for Jeff. His poop was still brown. And so he has to come back.
Say Jeff?
Jeff, her husband.
Oh, okay.
Shout out Jeff. Dirty poop.
Got it.
And she was like, oh no, he's going to be really upset about that. You know, whatever. Has to do it all over again. This was the third colonoscopy this year, she told me.
Oh no.
And I go, new fear unlocked. Josh is not going to pass. And we're going to have to do this all over again.
There's no way I was not going to pass. I was so consumed with like, I got to make sure it's all out.
Yeah, because you only wanted to do this once.
Between 5 o'clock that day and 3:30 the next day, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 40 times I pooped.
That's record, dude.
Are you going to edit the vlog?
It's too much, I think.
The pooping is gross.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
I filmed up to like number 23 or something.
It
turned into...
Yeah.
And it was just, yellow. It turns yellow.
Just go open a can of large Bush's baked beans.
Yeah.
And then hold it 8 feet above the toilet. And that sound is exactly what Josh was sending me and Andrew throughout the night.
Can I?
just play one. Hold on.
I opened one. I thought Paige was locked into her book. And she looks over as it's happening and goes, oh, no. She's like, I can never look at him again.
Yeah, it was gross.
Sorry, babe.
Play 2 seconds of a sound.
Oh, geez.
Play 2 seconds.
I got it.
I don't.
Here we go.
Everyone.
I only need two seconds.
Want the cable?
No, I'll just do it in the microphone. When did I start pooping?
How much did he complain?
A regular amount.
What?
A regular amount of complaining.
Yeah, nothing above an average.
Dude, I was so
weak. It's not like you weren't complaining,
though.
You were definitely complaining.
And our dishwasher stopped working, so I was trying to fix it while having nothing in my stomach and pooping everything out in my entire body.
What? Lily didn't want to do the dishes?
I've been doing the dishes by hand, booger.
So one of our dishwashers is broken.
That was the joke.
Stop it. Anyway, if I can proceed with my portion of the events... Finally, they're like, he's done. And so I zoom back there so I can go sit with him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor comes in, and usually it's pretty brief. Like, they tell you right then and there, like, you have cancer or you're clear or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, you look great, you know, this whole thing. But then proceeds to stay with us for about 25 minutes and tells me literally the scariest story I've ever heard in my entire life. And very thorough. He's like, it's no conspiracy. The food is killing us. And he's like, I'm not going to see you for another 10 years. And he's like, you have to make changes on the way that you guys eat. You have children. Think about their futures. Think about instilling positive information in them.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's easy to stop and get them a pack of goldfish, but it's all processed foods that's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm never going to be the same again. This is so scary. You truly scared me. Consider me scared straight.
Yeah.
Listen.
Oh no! Oh,
the fan was running. Andrew, hit us with a song. Andrew's gonna really is gonna show us right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Okay. right. I didn't know that. Perfect.
I got a few.
Instagram?
Text it home.
Text.
I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you pick, but you gotta say which one you're playing.
I'm waiting. Oh wait, before the reel comes, that picture in the Ninja Clan.
Yeah, what was that?
I donated a ton of my shirts because I have like 3 of every shirt.
Yeah.
And at this Goodwill, and Lily saw this man wearing one of the shirts I donated that we printed here at Sunday Cool.
Yeah.
And she ran up. She's like, I got to get a picture. My husband printed the shirt. He did not speak any English. And he was so confused, but he was laughing the whole time, apparently. Yeah. He's like, okay.
Is it a live photo?
Is it?
Maybe on my phone.
No, it's not.
No, bar.
Does all right. Which one to choose? Well, not the first one. Let's do the second one.
Okay.
First one?
Oh. Second one.
With the guy.
The flying bird went. Here's a video of a PLA Marine using a bird-like drone that's actually flapping its wings and flying through the air. Now,
birds are real!
Using drones that were had characteristics of actual birds.
So I didn't save the whole thing. That's pretty much the bit.
Used in urban environments because it would be like natural cover and concealment because it's like hiding in plain sight. Because it does. Yeah.
I think that's definitely done on purpose. Like, who knows if that birds aren't real guy was actually behind the whole thing. Like, that was a CIA, like, operation. Like, yeah, make the joke. Becomes a normal thing,
dude.
Right?
Birds aren't real.
Watch the eyeball one. This is where I draw the line at Chinese medicine.
Oh, the geez. Third one?
Stop. Yeah. I can't even look.
Dude, that looks so relaxing.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
There we go. Dude, after a long day.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the worst of it.
That's awful.
What is it? What is he doing with that?
And you got to play the first one, dude. This is the channel you built. This is the first upload you ever made to this YouTube channel.
It'll probably get flagged, though, with the song.
8 years ago. You think so?
Yeah.
Click it anyway.
Play 2 seconds of it.
You just have it playing. Mr. Carl himself.
It's definitely a flag because I just ripped off of Spotify or something.
It's Julep.
Dude, look at baby Julep.
Did you see that logo, that Sunday Cool logo?
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's the best. We have the sign around here somewhere.
You ever look back, though, for real, and just trip out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
it's
really
hard talking to you because I set up the camera in the worst spot. Like, we can't see each other.
Just look like one big eye. Oh.
One big eye.
Speaking of the worst spot.
Speaking of the worst spot?
Do you want me to tell this story about a shapeshifter?
Please. I need some shapeshift in my life.
The thing that I've been saying that I would say for a month now.
Yeah, everyone's in the comments like, Donnie's going to talk about shapeshifters this time.
All right, set the mood.
Shapeshifting. Werewolves. Let me tell you about it. Before I start, everyone go to Mr. Mythos.
Yeah, you YouTube talked about page. You've talked about it
he
a lot.
He does like 45 minutes of different stories of shapeshifting. And this story is 100% from him. And I've heard it from someone else before, but he gave so many details, and it is terrifying.
I'm so scared I had to get a drink.
Oh, First Form?
Oh, First Form? No.
Oh, power up! Thank you, First Form. Oh, thank you, First Form, for sponsoring this podcast.
Yes, sir. Donovan.
Peter Stump. Peter Stump.
Oh, my name is Peter Stump.
From Bedburg, Germany.
Oh, his old stomping grounds.
1589s.
Yeah.
This man, Peter Stump, was a successful farmer and an owner of many vineyards. He was known and respected without the community.
Throughout. Just,
what did I say?
Without
community.
He was known.
Lonely.
He was known and respected throughout the community and within the community.
And around the community.
And all about the community.
And without it, he'd be nothing.
And without it, he would be nothing. Without it, they would probably save many lives. But,
foreshadowing.
So, just a normal guy. Well respected. Whatever.
What year? Sorry?
1589.
I'm there.
In 1590... this pamphlet came out in London, and this pamphlet was called The Damnable Life and Death of Stump Peter. And it was detailing his trial and all the crimes that he committed.
All right.
And so what happened was he testified in front of this court.
What was he being accused of?
Murder. He started off by saying at a young age, he said he experienced psychoactive tendencies. Basically, he was very psycho, like doing very weird stuff. Yeah. Don't laugh. I misspelled it, and I don't even know what the word is. But it said that his psychoactive tendencies attracted the devil to make a deal with him.
Oof.
And so this is a quote from the pamphlet. In his later years, it said, the devil gave him a girdle, which when he put on, transformed him into the likeness of a greedy, devouring wolf, strong and mighty, with eyes great and large, which in the night sparked like unto brands of fire, a mouth great and wide, with the most sharp and cruel teeth, a huge body and mighty paws. And no sooner should he put off the same girdle, but presently he should appear in his former shape, according to the proportion of a man, as if he had never been changed. Stump Peter herewith was exceedingly well pleased, and the shape fitted his fancy and agreed best with his nature, being inclined to blood and cruelty.
Ew.
Yum.
So the story goes, this trial happens. The town started noticing there was multiple people dying, mainly children and pregnant women.
Oh, gosh.
It was within a span of a few years.
Yeah.
Gruesome murders. Like, can't get into detail, but like stuff that you, like the horrors of what you can imagine a murder would be like. That's what was happening.
Sounds like the Joan of Arc right-hand man guy.
But people were reporting that there was a wolf-like creature terrorizing the town and eating
people.
Children and young, pregnant women, yeah.
And so this went on for years, and all the men in the community, even the farmers, they basically dropped everything they were doing and every day formed a hunting party with these giant dogs, and they would go out and just look for this creature. And
how did they know it was a creature?
Because it was reported by other people.
Oh.
I said that earlier, but...
Hey.
Anyways, after a few years, they finally came across this giant wolf creature, and they surrounded him to where he could not escape, and he took off his girdle and transformed back into a man. And said all the men surrounding were shocked by what just happened.
Yeah.
But they instantly jumped on him, apprehended him, and they brought him to jail where he instantly confessed. And this is what's so sad, is that the last murder that he had, his bloodthirst became so much that he took the life of his own son.
Oh, no.
Bro.
But what's crazy is that there's so much documentation about this man transforming, so many eyewitnesses. And when they put him to death, they basically, not going to go into detail, but they tortured the heck out of him and ended up burning him because they were like...
So he gave up willingly.
Well, he was surrounded, but yeah. He instantly confessed.
I don't know. The power of persuasion is pretty tough. If you were, turn yourself back into human and then give a crazy speech and then turn him back to the wolf, I think you could probably make your way out of there. But yeah. Golly, man.
I thought that was crazy, though.
That's nuts.
And there's so many stories from the Mr. Mythos. Like, there's one, he talks about this human leopard society within Sierra Leone. How do you say it?
Sierra Leone.
Leone.
Yeah.
And they're called the Leopard Society. So it was basically about these witch doctors that would transform into leopards and terrorize towns where they gain control. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But what made me think about was in Daniel 4... when King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and Daniel interpreted it, and it talks about Daniel said, in this dream, if you do not give glory to God, God will transform you into the beast to where you will roam. You all right?
I don't know.
Can you get out for a little bit?
I'm tickly.
You need some more water?
That's the
worst.
Maybe
I'm allergic to pecans and I didn't know.
Mm.
So if I pass away right here.
Honestly?
Call an ambulance.
Good for the pod.
Shut up.
Views-wise.
Views-wise. Look at this.
We have Josh save you on camera.
What? I'll literally die. I don't have an EpiPen.
You don't think I could save you?
How are you going to save me?
I could find a way.
I believe you could.
I doubt it.
I'm tickly.
She just looked at me and she was like,
"Hold on, where
Lily,
is it?"
No.
Daniel 4.
Daniel 4 what?
Daniel 4, 28 through 33, where it talks about him transforming. It says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, quote, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, quote, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to him who he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws.
Ew. Is that literal, you think?
I mean, that's the crazy thing. That's the tough thing. Like, a lot of people like will say, oh, the Bible it's all just a big metaphor. Adam and Eve. Adam is an atom, you know, or like scientifically. It's like, whatever.
Who said that? I've never heard that.
There's several people that just like will just have that belief. But the Bible has no problem saying, hey, this is a fable. This is story. This is a parable. All those things. That just seems weird.
Wait, yeah. That's a dumb idea, because that would just limit, that would imply that the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew and stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
Adam and Atom.
They're saying, like,
we have to take things literally when it's speaking narratively, like when it's telling us, because the Bible in other instances has told us over and over again, hey, this is a parable, where I'm telling you a story right now.
Or
I'm
a poetic.
This is a fable. And so that's why, like, that's the argument with Job, right? Like, it's like people think it's a fable or whatever, some type of story. It's like, well, it didn't say that though.
Yeah.
But that's anyways, crazy.
I think it's crazy because there's the same thing that we talked about with, like, just pyramids and fallen angels and ancient technology. The account of, like, werewolves and men turning into beasts, skinwalkers.
Yeah.
It's in every culture around the world. Mr. Mythos breaks down a lot of it, like in Africa, Europe, America. I mean, just everywhere.
Yeah, and you think about, like, why aren't we seeing that in our nowadays lives? Like, well, other people, other countries are. Third world countries, people that don't have our type of technology, our type of distractions. Because if you believe in Satan, he's going to create these tools to tempt you and to take your eyes off God, then guess what? In America, it's not that hard. You have a phone in your pocket. Immediately, like, cool. He doesn't need a witch or something supernatural to convince you.
To follow
God. It's like, it's easy for us to say that's not a real thing.
He's like, look
back
at
in
this
the day,
dance.
For real.
Wow. I'm distracted.
But like in 1590, like you seeing a dog man, like it's like, that's going to make you believe whatever you like. I mean, whatever he wants you to believe. That's just, I don't know.
Speaking of dog man.
Yeah.
I want to say something that was the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard a politician say.
All right.
It involves Hillary Clinton.
Speaking of dog, man, I want to talk about this dog, man.
It was, I think, a pretty recent...
Brief final question. Hold on. Sorry.
This
Hello?
Was, so 2 weeks ago, it was the Clinton Global Initiative, which that's something to look into. Do you hear that?
Sounds trustworthy.
But the reporter or the interviewer asked Hillary Clinton, she said, you liken yourself to Cassandra. Cassandra being the mythological prophetess that could tell the future, but no one would believe her. So can you please put on your Cassandra hat and tell us what you think is going to happen?
Oh.
I said,
hold on a second.
What?
And so I want a Cassandra hat.
I looked it up and it says in Greek mythology, Cassandra was a prophetess who could predict the future, but was never believed. She was the daughter of Priam, the king of Troy.
Yeah.
Priam?
Priam.
Nice. And his wife, Hecuba, whatever. Her name was literally means she who entangles men. And it says, according to one version of the myth, the god Apollo, which a lot of people have interpreted as Apollo is Satan, fell in love with Cassandra and offered her the gift of prophecy in exchange for love. Cassandra agreed, but then refused to keep her word. In retaliation, Apollo cursed her so that no one would believe her predictions.
Nice.
But what's so weird to me was that she has apparently openly said, I'm like Cassandra.
I think she's just doing an analogy.
Well, of course, yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's just a weird correlation. Like,
yeah.
So the lady's like, I need you to put on your Cassandra hat and tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And basically what she said was...
Yeah, what did she say?
Through this election, she predicts that there is going to be, quote-unquote, a black swan event in October.
Black swan.
Black swan meaning, like, a society-altering event.
Yeah.
And she thinks that the misinformation from Russia or China will affect this election to where she fears that Donald Trump will win and basically America will be ruined.
Interesting. Like the first time?
Like the first time.
Just like the first time.
But she didn't predict that she was going to lose.
She did not.
Yeah. So I don't know if I can trust Hillary Clinton.
But again, no
guys,
one.
I don't know if no I one, can no trust
one
can Hillary Clinton.
No one believes her, right? That's the whole Cassandra thing.
Yeah. But she said she was going to win.
There's another thing that
she didn't, though.
There's another thing that she talked about on this that I can't talk about on this podcast, but I will talk about on Patreon.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because it's kind of wild.
Yeah.
A little too sensitive for this platform.
Listen, both sides, politicians just need to chill.
You know,
just be a little bit kinder. Quit lying so much.
We also just need to chill. You know something we need to chill about? Something that deeply bothers me. And I know this is controversial because not everybody feels this way.
Hit me.
I'm hating this trend of police departments parading around the people they've arrested on social media. Have you seen that?
No.
They like, I just saw one. It was a woman who was harassing some of the linemen. Like maybe she didn't have power and she was being nasty to them.
Yeah.
And they posted her picture and said some disparaging things about her. And now that's forever.
Yeah. Like disparaging, not inappropriate for a police department to be posting.
That's just what I think. I think they're civil servants and these are the people that they're asked to protect. And, you know, she might be a criminal now, but.
Yeah. That's the tough thing is that I could see cause you're allowed to, we've seen obviously in Florida, there's personalities within certain police departments that shine like that. What's that one guy's name? That one sheriff. He's bomb. He's great. But
is that Grady?
I think so. Yeah. Everyone just loves him. He's very
just funny. Yeah.
Plain fact, funny, but he's, you could tell he's serious, but that's the thing. It's there's not one rule across all the police departments. This is how you should be interacting with your community. It's different each time. And you never know how that's going to come across. That's a bummer.
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
Find out, you look at her Facebook page. Her child died last year.
Oh no.
So
yeah.
She's just mentally ill.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I know, I've been carrying this feeling. I'm mad at the police department for doing that.
Hey, everyone makes mistakes, so.
Yeah, it's true.
We're all human.
I forgive them. I've been forgiven.
There's a magazine that's in Oklahoma in the Southwest Missouri area. It's called Jailbirds. And all it is, it's just newspaper that comes out every week, and it's everyone's mugshot. And so it's one of those things, you can imagine small towns, they'll just pick up the local, the next Jaybird, and they'll sit and they'll talk, hey, look at Jerry's in there. You know, it's It's wild.
I had a friend whose aunts would always bring a little radio, even if we went on vacation somewhere.
Yeah.
And they would turn it to the police
scanner.
Yeah. And they would listen and they would make up stories about everybody that it was very creative. Good they should have written time. Books.
I'm going to do that with my girls.
Speaking of police scanners.
Yeah.
You guys hear about this DC crash?
DC crash? What are you talking about?
Okay. This is what's driving me nuts because I know nothing.
Okay.
But apparently, they're saying that in the DC area, not only in the DC area, but they said four states around Washington, DC, multiple people reported from 12 o'clock at night to 3 in the morning. I believe it was October 13th. No, wait, what's today? No, the 12th, I believe. I forget. That they saw this giant thing they said was 10 times bigger than like the biggest airplane you've ever seen on fire just coming in.
What?
And there's this giant sonic boom, like, and people were like, what is this? Police reports and like all this stuff. And like, what did we just see? Nothing has come out.
I haven't heard anything about this.
And that same night, DC, this one guy was walking about and there was just dozens of police cars, Secret Service, just lining roads, blocking roads off.
Yeah.
Nothing was said.
So Miami aliens all over again.
Yeah. Speaking of Miami aliens.
Did you see that one guy? Had like, there's like footage the news or
anchor?
Something?
Oh, wait. The news anchor?
Yeah.
I think that's AI.
I think that was fake. Yeah.
But that was so good.
It was so good. It was like basically like, listen, like this one guy is apparently it's supposed to come out and release this footage that he got from the Miami, the mall. And now he's gone missing and
actually,
all these
things. I know it's AI.
Yeah, it's definitely like
but
it definitely
it's so believable. It's but great, you're kind of watching like his mouth like sometimes doesn't move right.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Dude, movies, which I have to share another like a crazy movie that's happening like right now, but they're going to get crazy with AI.
I get bamboozled so easily by AI.
They filmed a whole movie in GTA, in Grand Theft Auto. They screen recorded, created characters. And they literally, and it's going to be released next year. The whole game is Grand Theft Auto.
That's crazy.
And they have a storyline and everything. Everyone has lines. It's crazy.
All right, let me know when you guys get it.
I got it.
One sec. There we go. Here we go.
All right. Just listen. This is just how good AI is right now.
America, tonight we address a story that has been clouded in secrecy. We've attempted multiple times to bring you details about an ongoing federal investigation involving a New York resident named Fitz. However, the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security have denied us permission to report in full. What we can confirm is that Fitz was present at the Bayside Marketplace on January 1st, where he allegedly witnessed something classified. He captured footage of the event, and that footage, we are told, is of critical importance. As a result, he's missing, his whereabouts unknown, following weeks of surveillance and federal interest. The government has refused to release any further information, and we are being warned not to press deeper. But the American people have the right to know why a citizen, an ordinary witness, has disappeared. What is the government hiding? We will continue to push for answers despite the barriers we face. This is about more than one man. It's about transparency and accountability. Thank you for joining us. We will keep you informed as this story develops.
Yes. Where are you, Fitz?
Hopefully that doesn't get flagged.
That's what I'm worried
that
about.
That was certainly fake.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Did you
fake.
See how real it looked, though?
Yeah, that's creepy.
But that you know there's 132,000 people that like that video.
Yeah.
That's 132,000 people that were like potentially
I was reading the comments duped. While we were watching it, and a lot of people were like, the only reason I know this is fake is because the news would never be so honest with us.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the news would never be like, the government's hiding something. Yeah.
How
us.
Can you, this is a simple way to tell if it's AI or not. Is it telling the truth?
Are we being lied to?
Also, there's that Star of Jacob that's popping up.
Dude, so scary. That thing is like, I don't know. It looks like a Christmas light.
I haven't looked into it enough.
No, we need
to. Did you hear about this?
No.
So they're saying that this Star of Jacob is the same star that came about when Jesus was born. And that's the star that the wise men followed.
That's super dope.
So apparently this star appears every 2,000 years. And there's people saying that with the star of Jacob appearing, that Jesus's return is inevitable.
Dude.
Francis Chan was on that.
And it was huge, Sergeant Jacob? Dude. Like, it's literally just like...
Or just the 2,000-year thing?
Yeah. Weird electric, like, it's just, it's different colors.
Bring it on. Bring it on!
This with the alien mothership, baby. Let's go!
But, it's wild. It looks crazy.
Wow.
And I don't know if this is just like a... I just haven't done enough research on it. Yep. And, but man, oh man. One dude said that if it is the Star of Jacob, like the one that appeared with Christ, he said, wouldn't it make sense that no one knew necessarily about Christ except for the three wise men, the shepherds, and Joseph and Mary, but it took 30 years for him to be known to the world. So could it be another 30 years before Jesus makes his appearance?
Try 3 years, 2027.
Please. If that's the one thing that we can get behind, I'm like, give me 3 years. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm just tired of all this toiling.
Yeah.
You know?
You want some gifts? Are we wrapping up?
Oh, yeah. I got more stuff to talk about on Patreon.
We didn't talk about anything that I had written down. So, like, there's so much that we got to talk about on Patreon.
Sorry for stealing the thunder.
It's your birthday. Oh,
this is your birthday, dude. All right. This is from Andrew. He knows what's in it. Everyone knows what's in it. It's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time.
Andrew, describe this gift.
It's just when I saw it, but I was like.
But like what?
If you pick it up, it's kind of got like a tactile feel.
Okay.
You know? So it kind of like.
But what made you, what made you think of me when you picked this out?
It's just the vibe it was putting out, dude.
Yeah.
Just open it up.
All right.
You said tactile.
I know.
A hatchet!
Tell me that's your vibe.
That is my vibe.
That's your vibe, dude.
Wow. Very good. A weapon.
Oh, was this gator?
This is beef jerky, dude.
Oh, just beef jerky.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You know me, Andrew. Thank you for this.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're welcome.
All right, and this is from me. It's what you've always wanted.
The Snow's Ark.
Listen, I know you may think it's a lot of money, but please.
Wow, a fly zapper.
Wow.
You can zap me anytime you want today.
I
want
to use it. I don't touch it. Dad!
No way. It got me.
Did that hurt a lot?
Not a lot, but enough. Oh, a butterfly calendar.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's very much me.
Yeah, and the $1 sign is for $1,000.
And... wow, the Karate Kid collection.
Wow.
Ninjas are butterflies.
Oh.
All right. Okay, these are all silly kind of gifts, but Lily really just wanted you to, really enjoy this.
Okay.
This is a big deal.
Lil,
can
you kind
of... I don't know what it is, but apparently she said it's what you've always wanted.
Can you kind of like preface what this is?
I just, I saw it and I knew it was you.
But like why? Why was it me?
It's pretty.
It's pretty.
Makes you smart like you're smart.
Makes me smart like I'm smart.
Makes you smart like you're smart. Okay.
Okay. Talented.
Okay.
Oblong in shape.
All right.
Not like you, though.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
A wolf pillow.
I know you've been asking for new pillows.
This does make me smart because this is smart.
Yeah, because when you sleep, you get good sleep, you get smarter.
Well, that's actually a nice pillow.
Yeah, good job, Lil.
Thank you, Lil.
I did get it. I said oblong in shape.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if Lily wants you to read it out loud.
It's a love letter.
I should probably read it, though.
Yeah, probably.
I think it'd be cool to see what she said about me.
Yeah.
Your bar mitzvah is such a special time. Wishing you happiness today, success in the years ahead, and the best of everything always. What does this say? Mazel tov, you chubby blob. Signed, Lily.
What in the world?
I think blind people shouldn't vote like they can, quote unquote, vote. But just have them push a button on an iPad or something?
I do.
That's insane.
It's signed by you.
Right. That was in your bag that you got for him.
I didn't write that. I did not write that.
Oh my gosh.
I don't feel that way.
Also, what's the Jewish angle? Like, are you taking a jab at the Jewish
people? No, never.
What are you doing, Lil?
Golly, that's kind of strange.
I don't know. I think we'll probably have to talk more about this on Patreon. Patreon.com/ninjas or butterflies.
Download the app today. You can quit anytime, but you're not going to want to because you get discount codes. You get bonus episodes. We just dropped a vlog last week.
We did.
And it's just a little compilation of what we did in Evansville. It was a super fun blast. But listen, if you don't do that, you're going to regret it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, that's not a threat. It is actually a threat.
It's a threat. And go to YouTube, or if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe, comment. And if you're on Spotify, like or follow us.
Leave a review.
5 stars.
We really want to be like the podcast that has like a lot of reviews.
Yeah, and we hit number 19 on Top Comedy this week.
Whee!
Literally 18 spots away from Rogan. Rogan!
And number
coming for ya!
And number 67 on all podcasts.
In the world, baby! Woo, 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 woo.
It's all because you guys review and watch it!
Yes, if you review, if you watch, you like, comment, please. And also comment happy birthday to Josh and give him some advice. Give him some terrible advice.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, give the worst terrible advice gets a t-shirt.
And next week, make sure to look out for a Sunday Cool swag because we are going to do that donation shirt. So,
yes, absolutely.
If you need custom shirts, SundayCool.com.
Send a cool swag if you want some ninja merch as well.
I said that.
Yeah.
You want to cut the cake with the hatchet?
Ha!
Lick it. All right. Bye, everybody. We'll see you on Patreon.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's creatures.
You were martial arts!
Ninjas attack!
Faces.
Faces.